My name is Alan Morse, and I'm talking to you from Perry, Kansas. And we're going to be talking about the Gospel Explained. And what I mean by that is we're going to go on a three-part series. This is going to be part one, and we're going to explain the Gospel. The three-part series is number one is Christ died for our sins, and number two, that he was buried, and number three, that he rose from the dead. And we're going to start with number one, Christ died for our sins. And we're going to expand on that. Everybody get your Bibles out, and everybody get some pencils and papers. And we're going to go through this, and we're going to go through quite a few different verses. And I think you'll enjoy it, and write these things down so that you'll be able to go back and study them and go over this all by yourself. First, we want to do, I always start in 1 Corinthians 15. I consider it the most important verse in the Bible for us, for the believer. And it starts off, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel," not a gospel, it's the gospel, "which I preached unto you, which also you received, and which also you stand, by which also you are saved." If you want to be saved, this is what you want to believe. This is salvation for every person that believes it. Total salvation. It says, "If you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain." What he's saying there is that this isn't a head knowledge. This is a heart knowledge. If you truly believe the gospel for your salvation. We go on. It says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Paul received this gospel directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what it is, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. That's the gospel for our salvation. Now we're going to talk about Christ died for our sins. We're going to turn to Isaiah 53. This was at least 700 years before this, written before Christ on this earth. We take your Bibles and you just kind of take half of the Bible going back to the left, and you will find yourself in Isaiah 53, and we're going to start at verse 3. Give everybody time to find it. Isaiah 53, and we're going to start at verse 3. Okay. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep unto the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He has taken from prison and judgment, and he shall declare his generation, for he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in the death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, and he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall by righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their sins and iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressions, and he bore the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. This is Isaiah speaking almost 700 years ago about our Lord and about what he went through. Now let's go back to the New Testament. We're going to go to Matthew. We're going to go to the right. We go to the right, about halfway back also. We go to the right, and we'll go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verses 48. Matthew 26, verses 48. Now he hath betrayed him, and gave him a sign, saying, whoever I shall kiss, that same he, hold him fast. This was Judas. And he said, and forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, why have thou come? And then came they, and laid hands on Jesus, and took him. This was Judas, the Iscariot, and he was the one who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ to his death. Now we'll just go over to Matthew 27, just across the page here. We're going to start at verse 3, and we'll get a little bit of idea of what he did. And Judas, who had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful to put them in the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and brought with it a potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore the field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, And they took 30 pieces of silver the pieces of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. This is what they did to our Lord Jesus Savior, our Savior. That's what he did. He betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Now let's see what happened to Jesus because of that. We're going to go to Matthew 27, and we're going to start with verse 27 to 32. Matthew 27, starting with 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered into him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed their knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And then they spat upon him, and then they took the reed and smote him in the head. This is what they did to our Lord Jesus Christ. What he started, this is the start of this horrible, horrible crucifixion. And then let's look at Luke. We're going to go see what Luke says about something else that is tremendously important at this time. Luke, chapter 22. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Go to the right. Matthew, Mark, Luke. And we're going to go to 22. And we're going to see something else. Luke 22:63. It said, "And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him to say, 'Prophesy, who is this that smote thee?' And many other things blasphemy spoke they against him." So what they did, they blindfolded Jesus, and these people were soldiers, Roman soldiers, probably the strongest men around. That's all they did was fight. And they're like prize fighters, and they hauled off and they struck the Lord Jesus in the face. And they broke his face, just totally smashed his face. Probably broke every bone in his body up there. But if not, it's just horrible what they did to him. And we know this is true because we'll find it, we'll turn to Isaiah 52. Now we're going to go back to the left. We're going to split the Bible in half again. Go back to the left. Psalms, Proverbs, and Isaiah. We're going to look at Isaiah 52. And we're going to look at 14. And this is what Isaiah said about happened to him. "And as many were astonished at his vestige was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." I mean, they really worked him over to a horrible extent. Now they beat him with the rod on the thorns on his head, and now they beat his face horribly. And then now we're going to look at Mark. We'll go right back to the New Testament again. Go back to Mark on going to the right. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're going to go to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. And we're going to look at verses 15. 15:15. It says, "And so Pilate, willingly to content the people, released Barnabas," Barbarus, I guess it is, "unto them, and delivered Jesus, and when he had scourged him, to be crucified." What does scourged mean? Scourged means beaten with the cat of nine tails. It's a whip that had nine leather thongs on it, and on each end of them they had glass and they had steel on the end of these tips of these cat of nine tails. And they beat him 39 times. Literally made his back and his front of him just like hamburger. Just tore him apart. And so we had him, his face was beaten horrible. He had a crown of thorns on his head. And then they used this horrible cat of nine tails and they beat him. The Roman soldier beat him. It was just horrible what they did to the Lord. But that's just getting started. Let's go to John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then we go to John. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And we're going to go to verse 16. We're going to 16 through 30. "Then they delivered him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he was bearing his cross and went forth to the place called the Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side and Jesus in the center. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. And then the chief priests of the Jews came to Pilate and said, 'Write not, King of the Jews,' but he said, 'I am I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate says, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garment and made four parts of to every soldier in part, and also a coat. Now the coat was with one seam woven from the top throughout, and they said, therefore, among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. And that scripture might be fulfilled, and said, they parted my raiment among them, and my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, and the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, and saith to the mother, woman, behold thy son. And he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple who took unto his own house. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was a set of a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled it, a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon a hyssop, and they put it in his mouth. And Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. Our Lord and Savior had died, and that's what he came to do. He came to die on that cross to pay for our sins, and that way that we can have eternal life. Now let's turn to Isaiah 53. We're going back there again. Isaiah 53. Turn back half the way back through your Bible. Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah. Isaiah 53. And we're going to look at verse 12. It says, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. In other words, when he died for the sins of everybody, from Adam all the way to the last person that lives on this earth, and he gave them an opportunity to have eternal life, and all they got to do is believe the gospel. Let's turn to John chapter 1. We'll go back to the right again. We're going to John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 29. John chapter 1, verses 29. It says, the next day John, seeing Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. This John was John the Baptist, and he was the one that came ahead of Jesus and prepared the way. And he's the one who saw Jesus coming, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. You see, they had sacrifices all the way from Adam all the way up to Jesus. And these were sacrifices for the people, and they had to be an animal sacrifice that shed the blood. And all it was a picture for what Christ was going to do for us. He was the final sacrifice. He was a perfect God-man. He's the only one that could do it, because he's the only perfect person that ever walked on this earth. And he died for our sins. He was the Lamb of God, the final sacrifice for every sin on this world. And he paid for it there on that cross. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. Go to the right. Go to the right. Acts chapter. Let's see. No. John chapter 1:29. No. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 21. It says, "For he hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." God had no sin, and he was made sin for us, and that's why he paid for our sins. In 1 Peter, we see that he also did that. In 1 Peter, chapter 2, keep going to the right. We're going to go all the way past Hebrews, and we're going to go to Hebrews, James, and then Peter, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24. It says, "You see then that by the works of a man is justified, and not only by faith." And see, I think I got that wrong. 1 Peter 2, 24, right. Anyway, he bore our sins. Oh, I'm sorry, wasn't in Peter, I was in James. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead in sin should live into righteousness. By his stripes we were healed. He died for our sins is what I was trying to have. He bore our sins. Let's go to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians. Go back to the left. We go to Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, and forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace." We have redemption through his blood, his death on that cross, and forgiveness for our sins according to the riches of his grace. And then we'll turn to Hebrews 9:22. Back to Hebrews again. Hebrews 9. Back to the right. Hebrews 9, verses 22. It says, "And almost all the things that are of the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there was no remission." There's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. That's why he had to shed his blood to pay for our sins. See, Christ did pay for our sin debt for all. And Christ told us how to be saved, and that was by believing the gospel. But the world has rejected it. It's awful hard to find somebody that preaches the gospel. But that's all that Paul preached. Was the gospel for our salvation. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe." You need to memorize that. That's Romans chapter 1:16. I'll say it again. He says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it," the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe." And so people have rejected the gospel, and that's all that Paul preached. Every one of the letters that he wrote, all the way from Romans clear to Philemon, every one of those churches were grounded on the gospel. And it was tremendously important to them because that's what salvation was. Let's go to Galatians, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and let's go to Galatians. 2 Corinthians, and then go to Galatians, and we'll show you how tremendously important it is, this gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "But I make known unto you, brethren," that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man, neither did I receive it of man, or neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus was the one who told us to believe the gospel. Jesus is the one. And let me show you how important it is. Let's go right back to chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 8. Chapter 1, verses 8. It says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you," he said, "let them be accursed." And then he turns around in 9, he says, right following, it says, "As we said before, so I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than which we have received, let him be accursed." Now, if you're a pastor and you're preaching anything for salvation except the gospel, you've got a real, real problem. A real problem. And it's just tremendously important. We should turn over real fast to chapter 5, and we'll see that not only this, you've got to preach the gospel, and you don't preach anything else, but you want to make sure that you never add to it. He said in chapter 5, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in your liberty which Christ has made us free, not to entangle us with the yoke of bondage." He says, "Behold, I say unto you, if a person is circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." These people were telling you had to be circumcised in order to be saved. They also said that you had to keep the law. And he says, if anybody keeps the law, he said, you have fallen from grace. Fallen from grace. So it's tremendously important that we believe that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and he rose from dead for our salvation. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, I just pray that you will open the hearts of everybody that I've talked to today, that they will receive the gospel for their salvation, and that they will totally believe it so that they can be saved. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.